Good morning and welcome to the Adult Sunday School. Pastor is a little under the weather today, so three of us have been asked to step in place for Pastor and today. But even though Pastor's not here, the Lord's here. He's going to be here morning worship, evening, and Wednesday, unless he calls us up together with him in the air. So he's going to be here or there. That's where we want to be. We didn't come to worship Pastor. You didn't come to worship any of the speakers. We came to worship the Lord. Let's open with the word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, this opportunity that we have to sit at your feet, to you to minister to our hearts, our minds, our whole being. Deal with each and every one of us. Begin even with me. Deal with those who can't make it and want to be here. Give them what they need. God, you know what each and every one of us needs, and you're going to give us what we need, but we have to have our mouths open wide and our hearts soft. So may we receive all that you'd have for us, and thankful, rejoicing, letting you do what only you can do. We anticipate a great work, and we know that you can do it. May we get out of the way and let you do it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark 4. And I'm going to read verses 35 through 40. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Think about that. Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Turn to Luke chapter 8. And I'm going to read verses 22 through 25. This is another person's, Luke's version of what he saw in that occasion. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. What do you do when the winds, the storms of life hit you, what do you do? Where is your faith? Suppose the Lord was right here, right now, and he questioned all of us. Where is your faith? He is here. His Holy Spirit is here. Where is your faith? Last night, I was home, sitting in my recliner, in my ship or boat. About 7 o'clock at night, I get a phone call. Alan Tice. When Alan calls at 7 o'clock at night, there's a storm, possibly. So I answered the phone. What do you do? What did the three of us do? I can imagine what the three of us did at that time when we received that phone call. The winds were beating against the ship. We got this phone call to stand in the steps, the feet of the pastor, behind the pulpit. What did we do? We believed in the Lord, trust in him. The storms hit, but the storms, Christ in me, is peace. Peace that passes all understanding. What about yourself? When things happen in your life, things that you think are terrible, Christ in you and you're in Christ, calm. Storms don't affect Christ in you. Doesn't affect you. God strengthens you in those situations. My wife had this, and it says, believe, in case some of you can't see back there. Even if you can't see it, believe is there. Believe. But I'm going to go a little further than believe. Believing. Continue. Don't stop believing. When you see the word believe, I want you to do your part and add the ing, the ing part, believing. Make it personal. Make it continual. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't think that you have enough, that you can handle it by yourself. You can't. You can't. You don't know what's going to happen to you 5 minutes from now, 5 seconds from now. But Christ in you, you're in Christ, gives you his peace, a peace that passes all understanding. We don't have to understand it, just believe it. Just believe in him. First of all, do you believe? That word goes around a lot. A lot of people believe. What? Who do they believe? I'm talking about believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for my sins, all of my sins, that he was buried and he rose again to give me eternal life. Do you believe that? Do you believe he did that for you? Are you believing that? Before I was saved, I had trusted my six senses. Oh, you think, oh, there's only five senses. Oh, I had six. Six. And some of you, when I finish with this, you're going to understand you have six also. Sense of smell, sense of touch, sense of taste, vision, hearing. There's one more sense that I had that was strong. Nonsense. Nonsense. The things that I was doing, looking back after the Lord saved me, nonsense. Nonsense. And I shared with you before my testimony. I was a hardhead growing up. I'm still a little bit of a hardhead. But I didn't know the Lord. Didn't know the Lord till I was 31 years old. I'm not going to tell you how old I am because this is not a math class. But I look back on the things that I did. No one could tell me anything. Parents couldn't tell me anything. My teachers couldn't tell me anything. I had all the answers, supposedly. No, I didn't. It was nonsense. Nonsense. Until the Lord got a hold of me, did a wonderful work. It was hard. He put me through a hard time. But it was just what I needed. Perfect. Did a work that I thank him for it. The cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary. Dying for all of my sins, all of them. But getting back to that call at 7 o'clock at night, I said, Lord, in this situation that is coming before me and the other two guys, for this I have you, and for this you have me. God knew ahead of time. He knew before the day even started. He knew years ago that I was going to be doing this. He prepared me for this situation. He's never failed me. He will never fail you. Trust in him. Keep, believe, ing. Don't forget the ing. Constantly, constantly, continually believing. Don't just turn it off and on like a light switch. Oh, I believe Monday, Tuesday. I'm doing good Monday and Tuesday. Rest of the days, I'm going to do my own thing. That's nonsense. That's not believing. Continually believing. You have to be convicted, convinced, and then believe. There are a lot of people who are convicted. When I was growing up, I used to associate with convicts. I wasn't one, but I associated with them. I could relate to them. They weren't convinced that they were doing wrong. There are a lot of people who are convicts. They're in jail. Not in jail. If the Lord's dealing with your heart, you're not saved. He's convicting you. Do something about it. He's giving you that opportunity now before it's too late. And he gave me that opportunity. I'm amazed that I'm saved, the background that I had. Continue to believe in him. Where in God's word does he say, don't believe? I can't find it. I can't find it. If you find it, let me know. Three aspects of believing. Fully persuaded. Fully surrendered. Fully assured. If you have all three of those, there's no room for unbelief. It's a continual process. If you let God work in your heart. God doesn't want us to make believe. He doesn't want us to come to church, wear your church clothes, carry your Bible, look proper. He wants you to believe. Be real. He's real. He loves us. I didn't know what love was until I came to know the Lord. I was one hard individual. Hard. Thought I was tough until I did business on Calvary's cross. And I tell you right now, if you don't know the Lord, you're crazy. You're crazy. You will not make it. I thought I could handle anything. Mm-mm. Couldn't. And to love me after the way I grew up in my younger days, it's amazing. I thank him for it. God doesn't want us to make believe. I remember my oldest daughter told me when she was a little girl, she remembers, I don't remember, but she remembers when she used to have a tea party and I would sit there and drink tea with her in these little cups, make believe she didn't have any tea in them, but and she would tell me all these things that I was doing. I would sit there in these little chairs and have a little tea and drink with her, and she'd just giggle and giggle, and she would tell me all these things, and it's amazing how your children remember things that you do, the influence that you have, not only your children, but your neighbors. And if you're a believer, what do your neighbors think of you? What do your relatives think of you? My relatives back in D.C., that's where I'm from. I told this before. When I went back to my mom's funeral, I hadn't been back in years, maybe two times since I was saved. And they looked at me like on pins and needles. What's he going to do next? And then they kept looking. This is not the same guy. Something's different about him. I'm not the same guy. Even my sister looks at me hesitantly. This isn't the brother I knew. Even my own brother. I mean, they soften up now, but they know how I was. And my relatives, I remember back at the funeral looking at me like, this guy is bad news. I was the worst in the family. I probably one of the worst in the, I was the worst. No question about it. And I'm not proud of it, not at all. God doesn't want us to make believe. Judas followed God, but he didn't rightly connect to him. He went with the Lord all over. He watched, he listened, he made believe. He was make-believe. I'm standing here, and I come here. I'm not make-believing. Before I was saved, I shared with you before, I wouldn't come to a church. I don't want to be a make-believe. I refuse to be phony. I didn't want to. Being in God's presence does not make me right. Being in church doesn't make you right. Carrying a Bible doesn't make you right. Being in Christ Jesus makes you right. And any of you are here today and you're not saved, several of us can show you later on from God's word how to do business with him. Not what we say, not what pastor, but from God's word, according to what he says. His word does not change, but his word can change you. I-N-G, ing, believe ing. You got to do the I-N-G, personally. You got to do the believing in God. Can you live with one breath, taking one breath every 2 or 3 minutes? No. When I was younger, I argued and told people I could breathe through my eyes. I just being stubborn, rebellious. You know, just didn't want to say I was wrong. Stupid nonsense. You must be breathing. You just can't take one breath every minute or so. That's not good. It's not good at all. There's a difference between eat and eating. Hear, hearing, praying without ceasing. That's a ring. That's ringing. Ringing on and on continually. You got the point, so I'm going to stop this. And that's how we are to be. Believing continually. The believer is breathing and believing. Breathing is natural. Stick your head 3 times in a bucket of water and bring it up 2 times. The third time your head's down there, you're going to bring it up because you want air. Your lungs are screaming for air. That's normal. Believer should be believing. That's normal. That's normal for a believer to be believing. At work, I was on the E team. And E-team, I had, my job was, if I got the call in school, I was in the phys ed department, and my job was to get the AED, automated external defibrillator, get to the scene, and be ready to do what I had to do. There was a football player that needed attention recently in NFL. He was administered CPR, AED. You're trained to look for unresponsiveness, no pulse, no breathing. That's not normal. So something has to be done. CPR first, then the AED. And then go on with certain things in that manner. It's normal to be breathing. It's normal as a believer to be believing. Prayer, believing is prayer without ceasing, continuing to do so. Don't just have faith. Don't just believe. A lot of people believe. They believe that they can do this. They can believe they can do that. I believed I could handle any situation. Didn't care about people. I believed that before I was saved. Don't just believe. Believe in God. Believe in Him. Who is the object of your belief? Yourself? The world? Your friends? Your feelings, your intellect. I thought I was pretty smart. I could handle anything. No, believe in God. Turn to John 15. By the way, make sure that when someone tells you to Turn to the Bible. Open your Bible. Have it open. Read for yourself. I may, and somebody else may read it wrong. Or you may be somewhere where the words have changed. Read what God says in His Word. Don't just sit there and listen. Because you could get into a habit of just listening and not taking God for His Word. Listen to what He says. Read what He says for yourself. John 15, verses 5 through 7. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Do you believe that? Do you believe what God says, what He just got through saying? If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Are you believing that? Are you believing what God says? Constantly. Not just when you feel like it. Not when you think, oh, well, yesterday was a good day. Things are going fine. I don't have to believe anymore. I've got enough. Well, if you don't believe God, you're dishonoring Him. If you say you're a believer, you're dishonoring Him. You're not trusting Him. Turn to John 13. In verses 21 through 25. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. He said that to his disciples. One of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spoke. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Suppose the Lord said to you and us, some of you right now, don't believe. Don't believe in him. And some of you are not believing in him. What would your reaction be? What would my reaction be? It would cause me to examine myself to see if I'm actually believing. Am I actually saved? Do I know the Lord personally? Am I make believe? Like I said, if God were here presently, physically, saying that to you, but He is here. His Holy Spirit, His presence, is speaking to you individually and collectively. What is your response? What is my response? Like I said, got that phone call 7 o'clock at night. Bing! That recliner that I was sitting in, that was my ship, my boat. The waves beat against it, but Christ in me is calm, calm, calm. You can't just turn believing off and on and expect to progress. It's got to be continually, constantly believing. Not just take one breath every 5 minutes. It's not normal. It's not healthy. You won't survive doing that. Are we believing on our own terms? Are we going to tell God, God, I've had enough for today. I'm just going to come Sunday for Sunday school, morning worship. Evening, I'm full. I don't need to come. Wednesday, I don't need to come either. That's your terms. God is here. Pastor may not be here, but God is here. Who do we come to worship? Pastor? Or we come to make believe, look good? As it was saying, wear your church clothes? We're here to worship God. Believe Him. Honor Him. He loves us. We fully don't understand His love for us. And how can God die for one such as me? What I did. After I was saved, I apologized to my parents. I called them up and I told them, Lord, God did a marvelous work in my heart. They didn't understand. My wife and I were separated at the time for a year and a half. I was searching, living by myself, didn't trust anybody. Got deep into the martial arts. Got deep into astrology, meditation, trying to find within myself. Didn't work. Bunch of nonsense. Nonsense, looking back. Nonsense. I was streetwise. Handle any situation, I thought. But God boxed me in. He boxed me in that tiny little apartment I had. And I did business with Him. Didn't know what love was. That He died on Calvary's cross for one such as me. Whew. I thank Him. I still do. Very personal to me. How a person behaves shows who they are believing. Are they believing in themselves? Believing in God? Or they make believe. God knows. You know who you believe in too. You know. And you know what? Satan knows too. He knows who's saved and who's not. The demons know who's saved and who's not. You know if you're saved or not. Think about yourself. We read in the Bible about David and Goliath. We have our own Goliath, our old sin nature. Our old sin nature, boy, it does a number on us. It does a number. But if you keep believing, we have resources in Christ to win. That old sin nature rattles the cages. And don't think you got it licked. You don't have it licked until you have left this earth and in the presence of the Lord. It's a constant battle. But we have the resources in Christ to win. There's no excuse. No excuse. No excuse. See, I can't do this. If it's in God's will, believe. Believe. Not your will, God's will. That's the safest place you can be. Right smack dab in the middle of God's will. Let Him do that work. Believe in Him. Turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to do, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is him. It is his will. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God wants to work in our hearts if you're saved. He wants to work. If you're not saved, he wants you saved. He's knocking on the door of your heart, convicting you. Are you convinced? You can do business right there in the pew, right where you're at, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you. Don't reject him. For us who are saved, God wants to do a wonderful work in your heart. It's his will, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's his workmanship. It's his, what he is doing, what he wants to do in our hearts. Will you let him? Will I let him? Will we continue to believe, believing? Continue. Not off and on. We don't need to understand what God is doing in our lives. God understands. That's good enough for me. Is that good enough for you? I don't understand everything in God's word. I don't. But I believe everything that he says. Everything. He understands everything. He saved me for all of eternity. And he's taking care of me. He's taking care of you. He's taking care of you in the storms. He's taking care of you 5 minutes from now, 5 hours from now, 5 days, 5 years, on and on and on. Eternal life does not stop. Only our doubting him, not believing in him, could put a freeze on what God wants to do. But he's going to get your attention one way or the other. So I would suggest you go ahead and repent, get things right with the Lord, and believe in. Don't stop. Continue to believe. If I let God love me, I must be changing. If you want God to love you, you must be changing. It's a growing process. It doesn't happen overnight. You can be saved like that, but the growing process is continually. The storms of life, your health problems, medical problems, COVID's coming back. Now they have this thing that people who took the COVID, the variant that's out there now is coming after you, people that took the COVID shot. So there's all kinds of storms that are throwing out there. The economy, the price of eggs, the gasoline, more documents are found. Wow, carjackings, cars running into buildings, people getting run over, people shot. All the storms of life. But Christ in us, he weathers the storm. He's peaceful. He slept through it until somebody woke him. God's in us. We're in Christ. Can't touch us. Maybe the body, but we're going to get new bodies. Believe that? Are you believing that? I am. No question about it. Why do I make things so complicated? God made it so simple and easy in his word to believe. But no, we have to be complicated. Well, I have to do it this way, or I have to. That's you. Let God be God. God makes it happen. All we have to do is believe. Believing. continually believing. Don't let the storms of life get you upset, batter you, toss you and turn, get you all distraught. Christ in you isn't. Why do we get that way? Continue. If we are continually believing, when those situations happen, you're quick to use the resources that you have, we have in Christ to handle it. If not, we're going to be frazzled. We're going to be frazzled. You're going to be frazzled in that situation. You can't store up faith. You must exercise it every moment. The faith we had yesterday, 2 days ago, last year, that was good for that moment. The faith we have now, we've been going over that in these moments now. Who are you believing now? Are you believing Christ now? Your mind may go. Body's failing. All kinds of things. May have death in the family, whatever. Some of us have gone through that. But Christ gives you that peace, his peace, not what the world gives you, what he gives you. I remember when my wife passed. I can't explain and appreciate the peace that he gave, and he still gives. I mean, it was a hurt, but at the same time, I could thank him through the tears. I could thank him. And me, growing up, man, you talking about crying? Get out of here. You know, I'm a tough guy. No, but he did a work in me, and I thank him for it. Not only did he work in my heart, he's still working. I'm still believing in him. Get that ing. Don't stop. Don't stop. I'm going to read you a poem. You may have heard this before, but you've heard a lot of things from God's word before too. Don't say that, I've heard this, I don't want to hear it again. Back in the day, if you told me something twice, I didn't want to hear it anymore. That was before I was saved. But when God repeats things to me, I want to listen. I want to listen. There's a purpose, there's a reason why he's saying things. This is victory. If you can trust when everyone about you is doubting him, proclaiming him untrue, if you can hope in Christ, though all forsake you and say 'tis not the thing for you to do, if you can wait on God, no wish to hurry, or being greatly used, keep humble still, or if you're tested, you still refuse to worry, and so remain within his sovereign will. If you can say 'tis well when sorrow greets you, and death has taken those you hold most dear, if you can smile when adverse trials meet you, and be content even though your lot be drear, if you can be reviled and never murmur, or being tempted not give way to sin, if you can really long for his appearing, and therefore set your heart on things above, if you can speak for Christ in spite of sneering, or to the most unlovely one show love, if you can hear the call of God to labor and answer yes in yieldingness and trust, and go to tell the story of the Savior to souls in darkness or the desert dust, if you desire himself alone to fill you, for him alone you care to live and be, then 'tis not you but Christ who dwelleth in you. And this, O child of God, is victory. Believing that God will do this. God can do this. Victory. Believing makes the impossible possible. Unbelieving makes the possible impossible. I'm going to repeat that. Let that sink in. Believing makes the impossible possible. Unbelieving makes the possible impossible. How did he or she die? It's a question people, the world asks. As a believer, they died faithful. That's what I want on my epitaph. He died faithful, continuing to trust, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't have to understand everything. God didn't ask us to understand everything. He said to believe. And I believe in the great I am. I believe him. And I am believing him. Turn to Revelation 22. And I've used this verse a lot of times. It's very special to me. All of God's word is special. I'm not going to say one thing is. I can't do that. I won't do that. Revelation 22. In the storms of life, things getting hard. But you know where the danger really is? When things are easy, you get complacent. You can get sloppy. Thank God for those times. But remember, no matter what, not the headlines to be concerned about, all the things, wars, rumors of wars, all kinds of things, situations, world's coming apart. Not just in our country, but all over, falling apart. Christ in you is not falling apart. Stay close to him. Believe in him. And in verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Believest thou this? Are you believing this? You have to answer that. This closes our Sunday school time. Thank you for it. And this is your time now to refresh and get ready for the morning worship. Pray for the service. Pray that God will work in your heart and that you will continue and I will continue to be believing. Thank you. You're dismissed.